Today, it's entitled Grace's Remedy for Indwelling Sin. Grace's Remedy for Indwelling Sin. And this is to accompany our longer Bible study series in the Psalms. It's probably going to consist of about 5 to 7 studies. It will be a short Bible study series focusing on the remedies God has given us in His Word to combat indwelling sin in our lives by His grace and by His mercy. And so this whole series, which we're about to start in, Grace's Remedy for Indwelling Sin, can be summed up by one passage of Scripture, which is very dear to me, and I'm sure it's very dear to many of us. It's in Romans 12:21. It says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Now we know within each and every one of us, there lies no good thing. We know that our own righteousness is as filthy rags. And so that we know that in order for us to do good, we can only do good if we dwell in Him that is good. We can only do good if we're in the vine and be fruitful. And so in saying that, our first study will be focusing on the local church as being one of the means of grace to combat indwelling sin. There are many means of graces to combat indwelling sin. This is not in any particular order, by the way. Of course, there is a reading of Scripture. There are many areas which we'll be looking at, but today we're looking at the local church. If you desire to overcome indwelling sin in your life, which I believe all true Christians desire, it is essential that we frame our life and our doings around God's most holy word, the Bible, and what the Bible prescribes. Now, we know that going to a church cannot save us, can it? We see many religions treat church as a social club. Going to church cannot save us. Only Jesus Christ can save us by His grace and by His mercy. However, when we are saved, we are called to cultivate the means of grace in our lives. It's very important. Like a farmer will cultivate his land and break up the fallow, hard ground of his land, so a true believer in Christ will break up the fallow, hard ground of his heart. A farmer depends upon the heavens to bring the rain and the sun, and that will bring the seed to life. And so being a member of a local Bible-believing church is essential for spiritual growth and blessing for any Christian. Holy Scripture furnishes us with some simple yet profound illustrations and comparisons to what the New Testament church should look like. Let us firstly look at the local church as it's defined as a spiritual family, a heavenly family, a body of believers upon earth, a heavenly body, in Christ's body. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 12:50, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Here is a picture of a spiritual family. What does the spiritual family do? It does the will of their Father in heaven. They're a spiritual family. They are conformed to God's word. They seek to do God's to live according to God's revealed word found in Holy Scripture. They're a heavenly family bought from Christ, who is from heaven, who is the head. Now, when we're saved, we become part of a heavenly church family. Christ, of course, is the head of the church family, as it says in Colossians 1:18. Which reads as follows, "And He is the head, the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And so now if Christ is number one in your life, Jesus Christ is your head, isn't he? He is the head of a family, he is the head of a Christian family, of a Christian church, of a Christian believer. All true members and believers are joined and nourished and ministered to by the head, which is Christ. There's certainly nothing special about me and any one of us by ourselves. It is by God's grace and mercy alone. And so we look to our head, who is Christ, who nourishes the body. The members of a church are joined together by the body. They're ministered. They are strengthened by one another in the body, always looking for direction from the head. That's Christ. And so when members of Christ's body work together and are knit together, as it says in Colossians 2:19, it brings the fruitfulness and the increase of God, just like a natural body would do when its members and its parts are jointly working together. When a particular part of our body or several parts of our body are not functioning properly, it makes us less fruitful, doesn't it? A man, if several parts of his body and his members, as it were, if they were inactive and not working, that would seriously hamper the whole use and the fruitfulness of the body. And so it is the case with all true believers in Christ. If we want to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and in usefulness to his kingdom, we will be part of a true body of believers. Now, there are several reasons why a local church is fundamental of being a means of grace to remedy indwelling sin, which we all have, the old nature, which we spoke about on the weekend. First of all, if every member commits to be governed by the head, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, then what the mind and the head wants, its members ought then to perform together as a motivated body would. And that's true of us all, isn't it? If the head wants us to do something, God's word says, we've got to come together as a motivated body made up of limbs and organs and different parts, working together, all different functions. We all work together with the same mind, the mind of Christ, the revealed word of God. And only that way can we be fruitful as believers. Being a free agent away from God's body and family, it will never bring fruit in our lives. We need to be in the body of Christ. And of course, there are some very, very rare cases, like the thief upon the cross. And perhaps if you're saved in the middle of the desert in Iran or something like that. But those are the exception and not the rule. And so that brings us back to the all-encompassing verse of Scripture on the subject in Romans 12:21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Dearly beloved, get busy in the Lord's service. You want to overcome indwelling sin in your life, those corruptions, those Goliath sins in your life, which we all have? Get busy for the Lord. Frame your doings, as it says in Hosea. That was a problem with the children of Israel in their day. They weren't framing their doings around the Lord God, and sin lied at the door. It does not matter how old you are or how young you are, God can use you. Just like the young boy, remember, who had 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes of bread, described in John 6, the Lord used his offering, his willing offering, to feed thousands, didn't he? A young boy. It does not matter how frail or how old you are, as the men and women described in Titus 2, in being grave and charitable and patient and encouragers of good things, giving that experienced talk to the younger believers. There's always something to do for the Lord. Always pray and look for ways of how you can contribute as a vital organ and part of Christ's holy body, the local church. There's always something to do. Keep busy in the Lord's service. It will have a sanctifying effect on your life. It will take you away from the many time-wasting activities and distractions that the devil would have us employ our time in. We've got to redeem the time because the days are evil. Secondly, another reason why the local church is a means of grace to remedy indwelling sin and besetting corruption is that its members are now part of a wider church family. And this will have a sanctifying effect upon our lives. Just like any ordinary family, there is order and there is accountability and there is discipline and standards. And so the church family of Christ must have standards and order and disciplinary measures in place to keep the family unit together, of course, governed by the head, conformed to the mind of Christ, the Word of God, to maintain the integrity and the credibility of the family name of Christian. It's the best family, isn't it? We've been bought with a great price. We now represent the King of Kings. We're in his family. It's a serious thing. And how we represent him in our lives, our families, and in the outer community is incredibly important. And so being part of a local church has a sanctifying effect in this regard. Therefore, my beloved brethren, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our labors are not in vain in the Lord. You're building up treasure in heaven. And yes, we may not see many of these treasures. And often, actually, it's the case that we don't, because we'd probably get a bit puffed up if we did. And so the Lord does keep these vanities from us. But be reassured of this, our labors are not in vain. God's word will not return unto him void. That is a promise he gives us. Thirdly, another reason why a local church is a means of grace to remedy indwelling sin is because it is a picture of a holy temple. As our brother mentioned, lively stones built up on the chief cornerstone, that is Christ, as it says in Ephesians 2:19-22. Let's open up our Bible, shall we? Ephesians 2:19-22. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You see here, we as members of Christ's body, we live unto him. We are a holy temple. It's not only for those who are sanctified, being sanctified, but it's also for seekers and for those lost sheep who are yet to be brought into the fold and to be called of God. And so a believer who is a member of the holy building and habitation of God has a heavenly responsibility to the head and to the other members and to the public at large to be a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. This will have a sanctifying effect in your life. Just knowing that you are not only responsible for your own actions, but also for your brothers and sisters in Christ. You have a responsibility. You're part of the building, the holy temple of God. The way you represent yourself is essential. And this will have a sanctifying effect in your life. Fourthly, the local church is a means of grace to remedy indwelling sin
Because when God's people assemble together, they become a holy temple, where holy prayers are corporately sent up so that we bear one another's burdens. We all have burdens, don't we, friends? We have burdens for loved ones who are yet to be converted. We have burdens in our life, in the many things that we have in life. And if we try to do those things by ourselves, often we can be overcome. That's why we need beloved brothers and sisters in the Christ that may have a timely word for us, that will help us and encourage us. For we all will have times where we will be overtaken and in fault, all of us, and need loving and spiritual restoration, like any building does. In this building we have here, yeah, there's many components. You may have beams that perhaps they have been part of a church for many, many years, but there's cracks in those beams. Perhaps there's wounded warriors that have been in the faith many years, 10, 20, 30 years, but there's cracks in those beams, as it were. They need restoring. They need loving prayer from other believers. They need encouragement. And there may be bricks that are coming out. There may be paint that needs to be done. And there's several parts to a building, like the same as a believer. And so, as with any earthly building or temple, the parts and members of the building will need at times to be lovingly and patiently restored by one another. Of course, all directed by the head, by Christ. And so those who are more mature and strong in the faith ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not desire to please themselves as if they are free agents. Because walls and windows and beams cannot drift in and out of a building, can they? And so that is true of God's people. There must be commitment to the local church. First of all, commitment to Christ and to his word, but also to the local church and to one's own family. These are the means of graces that God has put in our life to keep us on the straight and narrow, as it were. If a true believer and member of Christ's body and temple and family take these truths I'm speaking to us about tonight, take these truths to heart, they will act as a great, great remedy for indwelling sin and corruption and sanctification and restoration as well within a believer's life. Not only that, but the believer will also experience great joy in the Lord's service, which can, in a small way, act as a small foretaste of heaven, a small sample of heaven. You know, if you don't like coming to church and you feel uncomfortable at church, you're certainly not going to like heaven. And you can read about that in Revelation. You see the things that happen in the book of Revelation, how hardened people will become in the last days over this sin, how terrible things will become. It's true, if you don't like coming to church and being under God's word, how will you like heaven? Of course, you can only like heaven if you're born of heaven. You can only enjoy God's word. If I can be speaking here today, and what I'm saying can completely go one ear and out the other ear, it can be completely googly-gog to someone here today, or someone watching the sermon. And that was true of me before. It was almost like googly-gog. It just did not make any sense. But when you are a believer, you're born from heaven, the Spirit of God, it teaches us in truth. These things are real. We apply them to our heart. We live for the Lord. They make spiritual sense, as it were. And we take them to heart. And so, fifthly, the local church is another means of grace to remedy indwelling sin, because if it be a solid Bible-believing fellowship, and I would say that it's crucial that you attend, anyone Christian attends a solid Bible-believing fellowship, because if it's not, if it's a charismatic church or a worldly church, that will do more harm than good. But if it's a solid Bible-believing fellowship, it will uphold and teach sound doctrine, which will ground its members in biblical truths so that they are not easily deceived. We can all be deceived, can't we? The Satan is so subtle. He is so crafty And he could even use good things to subtly get in, as it were. That's why God's word says in Ephesians 11 through 12, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We need one another. We need to sharpen one another in the things of God. That's why we need to accompany one another and assemble together. Forget not the assembling together of the saints. Yes, we have our own Bibles, don't we? But we should never, ever be so arrogant to think that we cannot profit from another man or another person's quiet time in their Bibles. Because we can be quite arrogant sometimes. We can think, well, I'm the Lord's person. I can do these things. And that really is very arrogant. That's of the flesh and of the old man. What we need to do, really, is we need to be those who are listeners and listen and take on spiritual truths and look to edify each other in the body of Christ. Now, lastly, the local church is a means of grace to remedy indwelling sin and corruption, because it is often where God's love is so manifestly displayed, in the proclamation of his most precious word and in the fellowship of the saints. And that's why the Lord Jesus says himself, doesn't he, in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. You can have a great impact upon your family, upon your community, upon work colleagues, just by obeying God's word, by his grace, being sanctified in the local church. We who were unlovely have been made lovely because Christ loved us. And that love, we can't contain it, can we? And especially when we come to his house, we've got to. It's such a wonderful thing because we got those heavenly things in common. And it's almost like it bursts out and we can share that love with one another. We can sharpen one another, encourage one another. And we can speak of these things, which we wouldn't, you know, it's not an ordinary thing during the working day. And so the world looks upon us as peculiar. You know, what's with these people? From all different backgrounds, these people would never come together in their own things. They're so different, you know, from all different places. They would never get together. Oh, but the love of Christ constrains us. And that love really ought to manifest itself like a city on a hill. And so people could see, look how they love each other. And people could just see by our life. We don't have to say a word. People could just say by our life, there's something different about that person. We really need the Lord's help, friends. The means of graces are important. The local church is important. Often the love of God through his people is enough to encourage the fainting, wounded Christian warrior in the battle against indwelling sin. And so the local church serves as an appetizer before the main banquet feast, where we'll go and have that pure, untainted love without sin and indwelling sin with our great King in heaven. It's a small appetizer, the church, the local church, before the great banquet feast with the King. This is by no means an exhaustive study on the local church. It is particularly about indwelling sin and being a remedy for indwelling sin. The local church and the subject of it is vast. There's many things that we can talk about it. But I hope that through God's most holy word and the promptings of the Holy Spirit, that you can see what a great means of grace the local church is in combating those indwelling sins and corruptions in our lives that we all can suffer from. It says in Psalm 68:6, God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. I've known many who were in bondages, in chains in their life, and the Lord brought them out into families, Christian families, not only in the local church, but families, in bondage before, but into the family of Christ. And I therefore beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And may the Lord be glorified in his most precious word today. Let us sing to God's praise.